This is episode 335 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, June the 6th, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960? 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
Right now, technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm Andrew McComb and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. And this was the week for users of mobile telecommunications products. It was the week that the World Health Organization panel recommended people limit their usage of mobile phones after it found a possible link with two types of cancer. As well, ACMA looks to tighten its grip on dodgy, misleading offerings from the Australian telcos. It appears the industry's days of total self-regulation of customer service without the threat of penalties for breaches are numbered. After years of poor customer service and complaint statistics going from bad to worse, it appears that the telecommunications sector is about to be brought into line. The Australian Communications and Media Authority is preparing to release a 12-month review of customer care. Telcos will be forbidden from using advertising terms such as cap and to be forced to implement supermarket-style pricing and new measures to prevent bill shock under strict new regulations recommended by the communications regulator. ACMA released the draft report of its Reconnecting the Customer inquiry, which has been described as a well-researched exposé of the poor state of communication service and complaints handling amongst telcos, as if we didn't need reminding. The inquiry was sparked by a continued surge in complaints to the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman, which reached 210,000 last year, and also takes first prize for the most complaints in any industry sector in Australia, even ahead of banking. ACMA Chairman Chris Chapman said the complaint level was just the tip of the iceberg, as research has shown that only a fraction of consumers even know about the TIO and its complaint handling processes. Telcos will be given time to implement ACMA's recommendations in their own self-regulatory industry codes, but if they do not do so in a satisfactory way, ACMA said it would force them to do so with new regulations. One of the key ACMA recommendations is a ban on the misleading use of terms, such as cap and unlimited, which often fool consumers, as in most cases the cap represents a minimum rather than a maximum spend. Claims of broadband speeds would also have to be substantiated. This will be supplemented by new unit pricing rules, so consumers will easily be able to tell from advertisements what is included in their plan and what costs extra in an effort to cut through the confusopoly that passes for marketing in the telecommunications sector.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Mobile phones and telecommunications companies are in the spotlight yet again, and ACMA gets out its big stick to try and rein in the angry beast. We get to see Windows 8 for the first time. The US says cyber attacks are an act of war. PlayStation 4 is on the way. And Adam puts his 2 cents worth in on the telecommunications reforms. First up, though, here's this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, mobile phone bill shock may become a thing of the past. Internet traffic is set to quadruple in the next 4 years. Apple lures the faithful with promises of iOS 5. Sony reports a $3.1 billion loss. And the space shuttle Endeavour returns safely to Earth. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Strict new regulations proposed by the Australian Communications and Media Authority may mean the end of unreasonably high mobile phone bills. The phenomenon of bill shock may be a thing of the past after the ACMA last week released a draft of its Reconnecting the Customer inquiry. Amongst its recommendations, the ACMA suggests that telcos be forbidden from using terms such as cap and unlimited and be forced to implement supermarket-style unit pricing. The report has been described by consumer advocacy groups groups as a well-researched expose of the poor state of customer service and complaints handling by phone carriers. The ACMA said that telcos would be given time to implement the recommendations themselves, but if not done to the ACMA's satisfaction, legislative changes would be made. The ACMA's chairman, Mr. Chris Chapman, said the outcomes that we are seeking are non-negotiable. The telco industry body, Communications Alliance, welcomed the report and said that the industry was already implementing a number of the recommendations. International networking company and hardware manufacturer Cisco says that global internet traffic will increase fourfold in the next 4 years as the number of smartphones, iPads and network gadgets climbs to 15 billion units. The prediction by Cisco was made in its fifth annual Visual Networking Index forecast, which was released last week. Cisco says that nearly 3 billion people, or more than 40% of the expected world population, will be using the internet by 2015, and that the total amount of traffic will reach 966 exabytes annually. Cisco's Vice President of Global Service Provider Marketing is Mr. Suraj Shetty. Mr. Shetty said the explosive growth in internet data traffic, especially video, creates an opportunity in the years ahead for optimizing and monetizing visual, virtual, and mobile internet experiences. The traffic growth will be driven by an increasing number of internet-connected devices, more internet users, faster broadband speeds, and more video content. Apple has been drip-feeding information about its next operating system, iOS 5, ahead of the Worldwide Developer Conference on Monday this week. In a press release, Apple said that its CEO, Mr. Steve Jobs, and a team of Apple executives will kick off the company's annual WWDC with a keynote address on Monday. Apple will also unveil its next-generation operating system, Lion, the eighth major release of Mac OS X. Other announcements will include iOS 5, the next version of Apple's mobile operating system, which powers the iPad, the iPhone, and the iPod Touch. Apple's press release also anticipated the announcement of iCloud, an upcoming cloud services offering. While new products like the Apple iPhone have traditionally been launched at the annual conference, this year it seems the focus will be more on software than any new physical iGadgets. The WWDC will begin on Monday, the 6th of June at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is 4 a.m. on Tuesday the 7th here in Australia, Eastern Standard Time. Consumer electronics giant Sony has reported a net loss of $3.1 billion for the fiscal year to the 31st of March. Sony said that a combination of things had contributed to the state of its finances, including the write-off of a large tax credit, the stronger Japanese yen, and the devastating earthquake and tsunami in March. Customer dissatisfaction over recent cyber attacks targeting Sony's PlayStation network had also contributed to the significant loss. Sony estimates the data breach will result in a $170 million hit to operating profits in terms of insurance and damages costs. Sony has forecast that it will be back in the black in the current financial year and anticipates a net profit of $976 million for the fiscal year ending March 2012. And the space shuttle Endeavour has returned to Earth, marking the end of the ship's career and the successful conclusion of NASA's second last ever shuttle mission. On Wednesday last week, STS-134 landed safely at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, with shuttle pilot Greg Johnson at the helm. This was the 25th and final flight for Endeavour, which has spent a total of 299 days in space, completed over 4,500 orbits of the Earth, and travelled nearly 123 million miles through space. The final shuttle mission, STS-135, will be undertaken by Space Shuttle Atlantis and is scheduled for launch on the 8th of July. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Intel might start making chips based on non-Intel cores.
So how does the Xbox know if the homework's been done?
You're telling me there's more technology I've got to get up to speed with?
Well, you know, yes.
Safari, YouTube, the camera, FaceTime, iTunes, Ping.
Whatever that means.
You're on a ferry, obviously.
Yes, we were.
Oh, look at the $99 plan.
Oh, dear.
Aha! I see what you did there.
This all sounds surprisingly civilised coming from Telstra.
Multitasking means that the second application can keep running in the background.
Your electronic wallet will be your mobile phone.
I'm not here. Yeah, la, la, la.
Yeah, it can't be too bad, I wouldn't have thought.
Oh, it's got to be better than what they have now.
They're going to have to decide whether their prejudice is specific against Google or whether they're going to ban photography in public places.
Frame's going to have to sit in the naughty corner.
Sorry, that's Freudian slip there.
We'll explore that in the break a bit further.
In the... God!
Give me the paper.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Fancy meeting you lot all here again. Anything to do and better on a Monday night. Hello, everybody. This is Tech Talk Radio.
We never went home. You're the one that went home. We've been sitting here for a week.
Have you? Yeah. Oh, that explains it.
Oh, yeah.
From camera left to camera right, Lena Van Deventer joins us in the studio this
Hello.
Evening. Hello, Lena.
Hello.
Dr. Ron, front and center.
Good evening.
And Dr. Graham, or Rob Oakeshott, as we like to affectionately call him, the voice of reason for Tech Talk Radio, down on camera right or microphone left, depending which way you want to look at it.
Good evening, Andrew.
How are you?
Well, thanks.
Yeah, good. I'm pleased to hear. Been a busy week this week. Lots of things happening. Mobile phones, happening? Bill Shock, all sorts of things. PS4s,
Windows
Sony hacked
again. 8.
Windows 8.
Oh, lots to talk about.
Isn't there? Absolutely. So, shall we start off with some correspondence, Dr. Rhonda? Actually, before we do, I have to send a cheerio. My father-in-law. Remember how last week we talked about the end of the world happening on his birthday?
And you said, oh, that'd get back.
Yeah, it did.
It did get back.
He was very impressed that I remembered his birthday, but he didn't remember mine. Okay, moving right along.
We have to read this correspondence because it won't read itself. Regular Tech Talk contributor, GJMCN, via the feedback form says, I'm a digital television convert.
Woohoo! We got one.
We got one. We've been talking about
does
digital
Senator
television
Conroy know about
a little
him?
Bit lately. I think he probably
Maybe
does.
Maybe he can be a spokesperson for...
I think Gardening Australia in HD is some of the best images on the ABC, but I'm also aware that digital TV, like killing off CDMA, gives benefits but also shortens the reception when all good country folk want is a good signal. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, GJ. I've had some experience setting up set-top boxes. Oh, I remember we were talking about the budget allowance for setting up the set-top box program.
Yeah.
I've had some experience with family members and others, and let me tell you, it's not as easy for others as it is for you guys. In the US, there are a lot of settings that can cause issues. So on this issue, cut the government more slack, as the elderly, the less educated, the otherwise preoccupied, and the disabled did not ask for analog telly to be switched off. It was the big media players and the same guys that may block services such as Vudu. GJ's talking about Vudu.com. Have you been to Vudu? VUDU.com.
No. What's at Vudu.com?
It's a video streaming service. Don't think it works into Australia.
Oh.
Sort of like Hulu.
A bit like Hulu. This is Vudu.
Netflix.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
In the US, they use a voucher system, says GJ, and it strikes me as odd that they didn't do the same thing here. More from GJ next week. Cheerio, he says.
Thanks, GJ. Yeah, look, I can understand that. Victorian country listeners would have lost their analog television a couple of weeks back, so they're in the digital-only world at the moment. So the great thing about digital TV, well, whether it's great or not so great, it's a bit like a phone. You either have reception or you don't. There's none of this in between crackle and
yeah, you don't
hiss
have noisy pictures with ghosts and strange things all over it.
Oh, you sort of do. You get pixels. What's that square
you
doing
get
around his
problems,
face?
Yeah.
But you get that in when you've got good signal strength as well. Have you noticed?
Yes.
When the streams try and catch up because someone crossed the streams.
Yeah, when the fridge starts up, you just lose a couple seconds of television. Yeah.
Never cross the streams. And there's not much HD at the moment, especially on the ABC. So that must. Was that an old email? Because Gardening Australia has not been on HD for some time because the ABC's News 24
it's a couple
took
of
over
weeks
their
old.
HD channel.
Was Gardening on H on the 24 channel, on the HD channel, was it?
I don't know. Well, it used to simulcast, but no
one
does
anymore. Maybe they're watching on iView. Would that be HD?
No.
Aww.
Good guess. Good try, but no.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's not much HD these days. Channel 11, I beg your pardon, Channel 1, which is Channel 10's HD channel. 73, which is Mate. Channel 90, which is Gem. And Channel 30, I think it is, which is SBS's Fraud Def. 720 lines.
Is that 720? Is it?
Yeah. It's not the full 1080. But anyway. That's from, and they're all different channel numbers in the countryside too, because it changes. Yeah. Like, because, yeah, that's what they do. It becomes, yeah. Check your local guide. Isn't that what they say?
For details.
Yeah.
Sarah via email says, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. I enjoyed your last podcast, although I think the panelists could shape up their act in terms of welcoming the input of women. I frankly think it's outrageous that you couldn't even remember the name of your female colleague correctly. That's,
Lena. Yeah.
And that you were constantly asking her to repeat what she said. Just turn her mic up if she's softly spoken and let her read some notices and take the lead in the discussion.
I'm pushing the fader up.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Unfortunately, the behaviour of the panellists is typical of the male-dominated tech world, and unless attitudes like those on the show change, women will continue to feel excluded from this boys' club.
Ooh.
Shape up your act, guys. Cheers, Sarah.
Thank you for your input, Sarah. We take all on board.
That's put us in our place then, isn't it?
Thank you. Moving right along.
Over Lena,
over to you, Lena.
Yep, go on. Your show now.
Am I taking this one, am I?
Can I leap to Andrew's defence, Sarah? Well, we were laughing last week because he looked at Lena and called her Linda, and Linda is Andrew's wife's name.
And we were talking about her in the break before we went on the air. So it's an L name thing, not an offensive thing.
No, it was very funny.
That's you had to be there. But that's sort of something like what happened, yes.
I've never once felt marginalised on this show, Sarah, but thanks for looking out for me.
We're not
That's good.
Primal in the chat is reacting with shock at the news that Lena is a woman.
Oh, don't start now.
I don't blame you, mate. I don't blame you. No, it's not a boys' club in here, I promise. I promise, I promise, I promise.
Sarah, we hope that you enjoy the program. We hope you'll continue listening.
Yeah, stick with us, Sarah. Yeah.
Stick with us.
And I don't read promos and stuff because I don't want to, not because they won't let me.
It's the most we can do to get her in front of the microphone every week. Exactly. We've got to drag her.
Yeah, we have to bring bacon in.
Screaming in here.
There's a bacon thing.
That'll start a whole new...
She's such a shy, introverted... No.
They asked me to come in once. I've never left.
That's it. Yeah. Stick with us, Sarah. Thanks for the feedback. Trent on his Facebook page says, on your little bit of diversion and talking about mice, remember we're talking about there was a mouse plague?
There is. It was on the news tonight. Little rodents.
Now, Trent works for 2GHR, and hello to everybody listening on 2GHR.
Because we talked about the mice in the photocopy last week, didn't we?
That's right.
What
and
happened?
They go squish against the ink drum or whatever it is.
Colour on a black and white print.
That's
says.
It. Yeah. Trent says, we've had the little buggers crawling up into our Elan Falcon desk at the station, which is the same sort of mixing desk I think we've got here.
Or, ours is
we
a
used to have a Kestrel, is it?
Yep. Until, it is Elan, yeah. Yep.
There you go. Until I put a plastic trap laced with sugar behind it. So Trent's had them at his radio station in the mixing desk.
And you've never been short of sugar for your coffee if you run out late at night.
Do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
Oh, well. What would you rather, ants or mice?
Mice.
Well, the dead mice would attract the ants, wouldn't they, and the sugar.
Yeah.
They can get in through the smallest little crack, too. I've seen them get into PCs through a missing single... fill-in plate
You're not saying
on the
a
back
screw
where
hole.
The,
I was about to say that's
no,
a bit
not,
small.
Not through the screw hole. No, through the plate where that you cover up the hole where an adapter card goes in.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
On the back of a
blank
computer.
Plate,
yeah. A little
yes.
blank plate. Yeah. You left one of those off, and mouse got into the computer.
Oh, that's unfortunate. What happened? Did he cook?
It didn't get out again. No.
Oh, did the computer get a bit smelly?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
For who was the poor service tech that took the sides off it?
Hello. it was not a pretty picture because, yes, the
poor Stuart.
Waste products before it died on the motherboard didn't do it much good either.
Oh, so did you just pick it up and put it in the dump master and go and buy a new machine?
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. Took the hard disk out to rescue the data and, yes, the rest of it just went straight in the dump master.
What's the craziest piece of wildlife you've ever found inside a computer, Graham?
The one I liked the least was the spider electrocuted across the back of the circuit board in the power supply.
Ooh,
yuck. Very large spider of exactly the kind that I really, really hate. I do not like spiders.
A big furry one.
By the way, yeah. Yep.
With long legs.
Yes.
I had bits of a big furry spider coming shooting out at me through my air conditioning in my car.
Bits? Which bits? The legs.
Legs.
So you turned the fan on and chopped him up.
Chop. Came flying at me from all directions.
That's the stuff that horror movies are made of.
But I'm dead, I didn't care.
Can you imagine that? That's the huntsman on the windscreen. You turn the windscreen wipers on, he runs down into the bonnet and comes out your air conditioning vent.
Yep.
That's just...
Can we have that sound effect again?
Can we... No, new topic, please. I can't stand it.
All right, new topic.
We've all seen the...
Sleep was nice while I could do it, but I can't anymore.
No.
We used to have Batman...
I'm not going to be able to get in the car to drive home now.
We used to have Batman hanging up out the front of our place. It was one of those fruit bats that managed to fry itself across the power line.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And he was hanging there for weeks and weeks and weeks, and the neighbours finally called the electricity company and they came and took him down. So Batman's gone from our street now.
Aww.
There you go. There's another tech story. Bats don't like lots of volts going across their wings when they touch the power line.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, no.
Don't touch both.
No. Don't cross the streams.
Not both at
once.
Don't
cross the streams.
And last but not least, Dan via Facebook. And Dan's in
is
our
Dan
chat.
Is Dan on our chat tonight?
He's in our chat room tonight.
I scrolled to the top. He's at the very top of my chat list.
chats.techtalkradio.com.au is where we all are. He says he has a simple concept that he'd like to share with us all. Pregnant women and Indian call centres do not mix.
Oh, no. Why? What's happened?
That's all he said.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Dan, you can't leave us hanging in the lurch like that. There must be a story behind that.
I'm sure there is.
I'd say it's something to do with pregnant women generally having a shorter fuse, perhaps.
Maybe.
Maybe being
that's,
a little bit
that's
less
not
patient.
Sexist, is it?
No.
We've got
it's
to be
not at all
welcoming
because,
to women.
No, because Dan's wife is expecting at the moment. And I know Dan and I know his wife.
Now, what type of call centre was it? Was it a telephone call centre?
I suspect it was a telephone call centre. I'll find out the details. Hello, he says in the chat room.
There he is. He's listening. Come on. Which type of call centre was it, Dan?
Yeah, you can. You'll have to
fill
us in.
This will see how long the delay is
because
between the chat and what's going to air.
Because it was a very brief, cursory Facebook wall post, and I laughed and laughed and laughed when I read that. There's got to be a good story behind that.
No, it's Vodafone.
Vodafone. Oh,
there you go.
But that's all our feedback, Andrew. But if you want to communicate with the panel, and please do, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that happened during the course of the week. And before we get to the ACMA's little arrangement, my daughter, Georgie, she goes to a primary school, the Burnham Primary School, to be just down the road here from the railway station. Okay. They're doing a drive at the moment looking for their old mobile phones. You know, the ones that sit in your drawer and you think, oh, I'll get rid of that one day. And that one day never comes. Well, maybe today is the day. If you want to send it to us at Tech Talk Radio, we give them to the school. They trade them in and they get some good things back in return. So cool. There's a good cause. If you've got the old 1978 brick in the cupboard, actually probably send that to some museum because it's probably worth a lot. But if you've got something like the 1990 to 2000 brick,
Nokia,
maybe send one of those up.
5110 or something, yeah. Those big chunky ones that could only call and text message.
Correct. Yeah. So if you've got an old phone, you want to get rid of it and you feel like sticking it in a bag for us.
What actually happens to the phones in the end?
They get recycled.
Okay, so they pull out all the precious metals and chemicals and things.
Yeah, and they go off to be wherever recycled devices go to. But the good thing about it is the school gets a bit of a kick, which is great for the kids.
Yep.
They get some more toys to play with at the school, can only be good. So there you go. If you've got a spare one, send it to us. 117 Church Street, Hawthorne Vic, 3122. It'll find its way to us. Just attention it to Tech Talk Radio. That'd be good. Thanks.
Used to send all the Doctor on hard disks.
Have you still got any of those, gig ones? What are you doing with them all?
I use them as coffee coasters.
I do. We have to fill the story in. Approximately, it must have been about 2 or 3 years back now, wasn't it?
It was.
With a heated argument in the studio, and Dr. Ron said, no, there's nothing wrong with 20 gig hard drives. They're very useful.
They are.
And we ran a thing, send us your 20 gig hard drive, of which approximately 200 of them rolled up at the front door the office.
I thought we might, someone will be crazy enough to send in one or maybe two, but we got inundated.
Absolutely.
All these old hard disks.
So,
what are we going to do with all these? So I've still got quite a few.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I was going through the cupboard in the office the other day. I'm pretty flush for 500 gig hard drives, and they're not even worth putting in a computer these days, are they? They're probably the equivalent today of what you were doing with your 20 gig ones probably 3 years ago.
Probably.
Because, 2 terabytes these days is sub $100. So, you're not going to go and put a 500 gig one in there for $80, are you? Yeah, or $70 or whatever they go for.
If you're looking at buying a new hard disk these days, you'd be talking about terabytes, wouldn't you?
You would.
With a conventional hard disk.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, all good. Now, during the course of the week, the Australian Communications and Media Authority came out and basically said that telecommunications companies, telcos, giving the consumer the raw prawn.
I think they must have listened to us the previous week because we were saying that words like unlimited and infinite were misleading when it came to mobile phone plans.
They were. And they found that that's the same case. They also came up with something which I wasn't really thinking along the line, and that is that a cap assumes a minimum, not a maximum, which I thought was quite interesting too. So, and I've always been personally of the opinion that caps hide the true value of what you're actually buying because... Mm. They it's like having Linden dollars, isn't it? And those sort of
it's
things you're buying a Telstra.
Like they say you get $800 worth of calls, but
What is $800? Because we should measure it in respect to airtime, shouldn't we?
That's right. Yeah, which is what's done in some other places in the world. But the $800 worth of calls, but $800 at a rate that no one ever buys calls at. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. It's just an arbitrary unit.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at it,
how did you work out that it's $800 worth of calls? Yeah.
Because it's not, because I'm paying $49 for those calls.
That's right. Yeah.
On average, if you look at a telco, they're $1 a minute a call plus a flag full. So, and I think Adam was saying when he was on the show that voicemail is just an absolute money spinner for Telstra because people connect using a mobile. So, in that one connect to find out, even if they just let the call go for, a quarter of a second, they're still... Ka-ching, they've got their money. They've got their 30-odd, 40-cents flag for plus a minute's worth of call time. So just for letting the call connect and no message, they've got, $1.20 to $1.50.
Oh, telcos love voicemail for that exact reason.
That's why I don't use it.
Yep. A call that would otherwise have rung out and not generated any revenue is making revenue for them.
Here's a tip. We've all got calling number display. Well, nearly all of us have got calling number display these days. And you generally know who you're ringing, whether they've got it or not as well. They'll know that you've rung.
They will, yeah.
They do.
And just leave the number. The number will come up on the person's
I'll ring
display
you back.
And you can
like,
just
you ring and you
hit redial.
Except on certain circumstances where you ring and say, hi, it's me, call me, and you've rung from a private number. That tends to be a tad tricky.
That was quite effective that
it was.
Day. Yeah.
It was. I had to Facebook and humiliate you publicly before you owned up. It was me. But nonetheless, we eventually got there.
That was funny.
But yeah, look, just I know who it is that rings because I know the number. It's in my phone, funnily enough. So there's all sorts of. But anyway, back to the telco crackdown. What do you think about unit pricing like in a supermarket? You know how you go into the supermarket and they have to price each Smartie according.
Toilet paper by the sheet.
Yes, and each Smartie by the pebble.
Yeah.
What do you think about that for mobile phone? And then there'll be add-ons on top of that, like tethering and stuff.
As long as there's a standard as to what units they're measuring and how they measure them, then yes.
Hmm.
So the ultimate aim should be that you can compare plans from one carrier to the other, which is, of course, what all the carriers are working so very hard to avoid us being able to do.
That's right, because Optus doesn't want you to be able to compare its actual rates with Telstra, and Telstra doesn't want you to be able to compare their rates with Vodafone.
No, in fact, they deliberately design their packages so that you can't compare apples to apples.
Yep,
so
of course
that
they
you
do.
Can't make a comparison.
Yep.
But no more, apparently. According to the ACMA, they're going to try and do this. So,
but then again, the authorities in this country have been letting Duracell and Energizer get away with murder for years because they both say they're the longest lasting battery.
Yeah, they do.
Asterisk.
Yes.
Asterisk. Is that how they do it?
That's how they do it, yeah.
Well,
and
maybe
they both name the other brand in their own ads too, which I always thought was a bit of a no-no.
Yeah, but you'll notice that they always compare their...
Deep positioning is fine as long as they're factually correct and they can prove it.
Oh.
That is, if someone... But it's they still need a pack or something which says this battery will last for, you know, an hour.
But it's still not really appropriate to compare an alkaline battery with the competition's... carbon-based battery.
Mm.
Yes.
Which is what they do in all the ads.
Correct. To a degree.
It's a bit on the
large
nose,
degree.
Isn't it?
To a large degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got to stop that happening in this other field, in the telephone field. You know, we can't have them compare, you know, you get X number of gigabytes of broadband on this one and X number of gigabytes of broadband on that one if this is twice the speed of that one or something like that.
And speaking of broadband, they have to substantiate the broadband speed that users are going to get. Now, that's going to be a bit tricky, I would have thought, because it's going to vary from cell-to-cell, location-to-location, but they can't go saying you will reach theoretical speeds of 24 megabits per second when you're likely to get 300 kilobits per second.
If you happen to be standing in the same test lab as the cell that no one else is connected to, yes.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So I think it's going to be a win for the consumer, but I think also... There's going to be some... It's going to move. It's a bit like a tsunami where they're going to up prices and everything. Oh.
It'll be interesting to see who goes first. They'll all be watching everyone else.
Would you go and sign up on a plan at the moment or would you sit tight for a bit?
No, I'll be sitting tight just at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Well, the inquiry that the ACMA released was called Reconnecting the Customer. And it's in a draft form at the moment. But it's interesting, the chairman of the ACMA, Mr. Chapman... Have you got some audio that you're about to share with us?
No.
No? Oh, that's all right.
But I will shortly, but it's not that.
They said that the outcomes that the ACMA is seeking are non-negotiable. And if the industry doesn't do this themselves, they're going to make legislative changes.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think it's going to be positive because for so long now, we've not been able to really, as a consumer, look at what we're actually buying. We just sort of pick one and hope for the best, and they're all as bad as each other, so you just buy one that's as bad as each other, and yeah. But one thing that has sort of certainly come out of the woodwork lately is you do get what you pay for in a lot of respects, so yeah. Anyway.
Won't it be funny to see an advertisement from Telstra that says, you know, on this $69 phone plan, and you'll get $69 value. Everyone will go, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Doesn't sound right, but okay.
Yes.
Or if you go with the $29 plan, you get $29 worth of
services.
Yeah,
but we might see call fees come down to something like, you know, 5 cents per 30 seconds or something like that, and then you'll end up getting X number of minutes on the plan. What do you reckon, Graham? Do you reckon that'd be a way to go? Here's your call cost, and here's the number of minutes you get on the plan.
Yeah, well, you don't need call cost. You just need to say you get $59 for X number of minutes.
Yep.
And then the competition says you get, you know, this other number of minutes for your $49. And then you can say, well,
you can say if I use the phone for an equal amount every day, that equates to approximately an hour of phone use a day or whatever.
And then when you use your $49, it doesn't go on. It stops.
It stops.
You don't have a service or you have an option to buy a bit of extra credit on your system.
Yep.
So you use your $49, you don't rack up the exorbitant, what do you call it, where they just gouge you? Yeah, probably just bill gouging, really.
Bill shock.
Yeah, bill shock. Mm. Anyway, Adam Turner has a view from this, because he might. The legendary Adam Turner has held well and truly high esteem for these type of things, and he's looked into it.
We had a lot to say last week about this, so he's delved into it a bit more.
3 minutes of the best coming up.
Fantastic.
About now. Here he is.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
Will the bill shock crackdown see Aussie telcos lift their game? Or will they just find new ways to rip us off? Forgive my cynicism, but it seems that Aussie telcos have entire R&T departments dedicated to finding new and innovative ways to screw customers. Several telcos have been dragged through the courts for their misleading definitions of words such as infinite and unlimited, yet they keep looking for loopholes. Finally, the Australian Communications and Media Authority looks set to deliver on promises to bring rip-off telcos to justice, judging by the draft report of its Reconnecting the Consumer inquiry. Recommendations include banning misleading terms such as cap and unlimited, allowing customers to set a maximum spending limit, and supermarket-style unit pricing, which makes it easier to tell what you actually get for your money. Letting customers set a maximum spending limit or enforcing one by default will go a long way to preventing bill shock. Even so, I actually think unit-style pricing is probably the most important issue here, as the telco's claims of value are completely bogus. You might get $1,000 worth of calls, but that's meaningless unless you know how much you're paying per call. The inclusion of variable flag fall and cost per minute make it impossible to calculate what you actually get with most cap plans. When it comes to mobile data, Telstra might be crowing about scrapping excess usage fees, but the writing was already on the wall and they were just getting in early to beat the release of this draft report. If Telstra really cared about customers the way it claims it does, it would have scrapped excess mobile data fees years ago and worked the kinks out of its horrific billing system. ACMA's list of recommendations look pretty thorough, but screwing customers is the bread and butter for some Australian telcos. They're not going to just roll over on this one. They'll certainly keep looking for new ways to rip us off. If telcos are restricted in how much they can charge us above and beyond our monthly plans, the next obvious move is to force or trick us into signing up for more expensive plans. Perhaps call rates, data rates and flag falls will rise so we get less bang for our buck. When your phone gets cut off before the end of the month, the telcos will be quick to encourage you to upgrade your plan. Perhaps they'll sting us with more hidden costs, such as extra sign-up or handset fees, which fall outside the monthly usage costs. Perhaps we'll see them sting us extra tethering or other advanced features. New technologies such as mobile payment systems could also go a long way to open up new areas for telcos to pick our pockets every month. Call me a cynic, but I can't see the telcos suddenly changing their tune and worrying about the welfare of their customers. Somewhere hidden away in an underground research bunker, marketing departments are probably already testing new ways to bend the rules and keep screwing us over.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
He's a very cynical man, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, but yes. It's very now very black and white, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yes.
Time will tell. We'll see what happens.
I think he's right.
I reckon.
A cynic is what an idealist calls a realist.
That's exactly the quote I was trying to think of. Well done. Well dear. Said.
We've been doing this for too long.
Yes.
dear. Adam. I'm looking forward to next week anyway.
Really?
I don't know what he's doing next week, but...
Yeah. No, neither do we. It's always a surprise.
It's always a surprise.
It is.
It's always very entertaining.
You know, we get a lot of emails and things like that. Some people are tending to voice through Twitter, which is a really good thing. I encourage it, but I just don't remember to read them out on air. But there's a few tweets came into the Tech Talk Radio account during the course of the week. One of the ones which I thought was really good is the words Facebook, and there was another one that had been banned in French media or something like that.
Twitter.
And Twitter, that was the one, yeah. And Fecan on the tweet said, I love, brackets, from a spectator's point of view, close bracket, French bureaucracy. I wonder what the punishment is for breaking this law. I thought, yeah, that's very funny. But only in France, because they, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of those.
Yeah. What have they done? Outlawed Facebook and Twitter, have they?
Not only on French media. You're not allowed to use those on television and radio.
Well,
Well, didn't someone call into the ABC 774 once and say, why do you say the words Facebook and Twitter when you're not allowed to endorse products?
Oh, they're brand names.
Yeah. Mention any brand names. Yeah.
But why not? You use Google. That's a noun, a verb, an adjective. But
they John Fain doesn't. He calls it Gurgle or something.
Does he?
Yeah, he refers to it as Gurgle.
They often refer to the search engine of your choice.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Which is interesting because Google's not a search engine. It's an advertiser.
But they provide a search engine as a service to promote their advertising business. ABC actually use both Facebook and Twitter. They have active Facebook and Twitter accounts that they use.
Yeah.
They're really good with how they utilize social media.
You can't sort of genericize it because you can't go to sort of your favourite social network and talk to 774 ABC Melbourne. You have to go to the one that they're using.
Yeah,
the most popular one. With 500 million users worldwide. That one, yes, and the likes. Mm. Also, during the course of the week, you're fairly active on Twitter, Lena, says he, looking at her across the panel over there. I sent you a tweet during
this
the week, but you chose not to respond to it.
Which one
But others
it?
Did.
Oh, right.
It was the one which said, you choose the music on Monday night, the first two tracks.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, well, you chose, you didn't, so.
I didn't, no. I had a busy week.
No, but Gareth came back and said, I'll be disappointed if Black Sabbath isn't one of them.
Right.
So,
something about me that screams Black Sabbath.
That was Gareth 6271, who I think might be.
Oh, he's not Gareth in the chat room.
He's not Gareth. There you go. Mm. So, but and there's a few other ones.
Do I scream Black Sabbath? Do I short blonde with glasses?
I don't know. I don't know. See, the listeners have a mental image of what we all look like in here.
They're very wrong.
And radio is a great medium, don't you think?
We used to have the webcam to solve that problem or to exacerbate it, perhaps. But
exacerbate, I think, is probably more the word. So, send us your tweets. Now, also during the course of the week, we're slowly getting up a small micro site for small screen devices, which you may or may not have come across yet. And if you go to techtalkradio.com.au, you should be redirected to the new m.techtalkradio.com.au site. And what we're doing here, its prime reasoning is that there's one big button center front of screen, which means you can listen to the latest show. So you don't have to download it on iTunes. You don't have to. If you've got the bandwidth to handle it in your day-to-day thing, connected on your Wi-Fi or whatever it is like that, hit the button and it'll come out your speaker or speakers or however you've got your gadget hooked up to your sound system. It should just play straight away.
Does it play the podcast version or does it play the Mobi version that we use?
It plays the podcast version.
The podcast version, the full bandwidth version.
Yes.
Nice.
The mono full bandwidth version. Yes. Yeah, so you can listen to it there with one click. So if you're in the car and you've got you hooked up to your mobile broadband and you've got plenty to go with, what are they, Graham? They're about 50 meg a download, aren't they? The two hours of the show.
The podcast version, yeah.
Yeah. If we play more music, which is in the podcast version, then it's a little lighter, but nonetheless. So there you go. We've started rolling out that wonderful thing too at the moment.
So if you want to tap it in on the keypad on your mobile device, it's just ttr.mobi.
That'll do it. A lot of things will get there, won't they?
Yeah. m.techtalkradio.com.au is one in the same.
Or even techtalkradio.com.au on the device of your choice.
It should redirect. This is replacing the old ttr.mobi site.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's common to all platforms, Androids and Apple-y things and stuff like that.
Cool.
So, yeah. Anyway, something we're doing during the course of the week.
I was testing it on the iPod Touch and it looks rather swish.
Yeah, now we've got it auto-stretching and rotating and doing all those sort of things it needs to do. So
sounds quite aerobic.
It is. Well, it's like
not,
anything.
Not unlike Andrew's. Quite stretches and auto sizes, depending on
and
requirements.
Rotates.
Specific.
And rotates.
Yeah. The World Health Organization this week came out with a warning about using mobile phones with the possible link to cancer with the radiation that these said devices cause. Mm-hmm. Now, this is nothing unusual. There's always been speculation around whether these devices can give you a bit of a warm, tumoury feeling above the left ear as you're talking to your friends for a prolonged time.
As usual for the World Health Organization, what they've done is released a extensive document that says absolutely nothing.
Yes. Well, a team of 31 scientists in 14 countries apparently had a finger in this pie.
Yep.
And they've all come to the general consensus that
that there is no general consensus.
It's plausible deniability, isn't it? It's one of those things where that if we say there isn't, then there might be. And if we say there isn't, then there isn't.
They're not brave enough to say there isn't just in case there is.
Yeah,
but
correct.
They don't really believe that there is. They really think there isn't.
Now that we've cleaned that up, that's all covered.
Is that clear?
Anyone else got any questions?
Now he's being a cynic, Graham. You've had dealings with the World Health Organization before, I take it.
No, I just had a read of their their odd press release on this sort of subject, and yes.
You don't think it says anything useful?
Yeah, hedging their bets, yes, exactly.
Right.
It's all maybes and possibles, and yeah, nothing's proved and nothing's established.
Not going to throw away your mobile phone just yet?
No.
Or your microwave? Or your sun?
Seriously, I mean, think about the mechanism here of what, you know, if it does cause a problem, what's the mechanism by which it's causing the problem? So, really, everybody in the studio has a basic understanding of how electromagnetic radiation works, what sort of electromagnetic radiation is going to be emitted by a mobile phone. You know, what's the mechanism of action here that's really going to do you any damage?
That's going to be probably the proximity to the user and the power output and the length of the exposure, the period of the exposure, I guess.
Yep.
So use your common sense and should
exactly
be okay. Yeah.
Use your hands-free kit. Use your Bluetooth where possible.
Mm.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
There might be a tiny, tiny risk. There might be, you know, and that risk is going to depend on the length of exposure and the nature of the exposure. So if you're, you know, in a good signal area in the middle of the city and you make a few phone calls, your phone output power is not going to be all that great. If you're spending a lot of time at a long distance from the base station, so your phone's working harder to talk to the base station, and you spend all day, every day, with the phone clamped to the side of your head, you're probably going to get a bigger dose of the radiation, and there might be a slightly higher risk. If the risk was extremely high, then we'd have cases of, you know, brain cancer and ear cancer and good knows what else.
Head cancer.
In general, you know, all that sort of stuff. We'd have those, you know, popping up all over the statistics by now. We've been using these things for a little while. That's clearly, whatever effect there is obviously so slight that it's hard to find in the statistics, which means the risk isn't that great.
That's true. We've been using these things for 15 years or more now, haven't we?
Yeah, we'd be starting to see things by now if there was a really serious effect.
And in previous,
and there might be a small effect, but it's what's the biggest risk? Is your mobile phone more likely to do you damage?
Oh, you're more chance of being killed in a plane crash than you have in getting done that sort of stuff, if you ask me.
The danger of your mobile phone, if you're walking around talking on your mobile phone all day, you're more likely to die from stepping in front of a car than from the brain cancer.
Yeah, or from driving into a truck in front of you because you're
exactly
not concentrating.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
You're certainly going to do you much more injury than the phone itself is going to do directly.
Save lives. Having your phone on you can save your life sometimes.
Certainly can, yes, absolutely. If you're being able to ring for help in a situation where otherwise you wouldn't.
All right,
absolutely.
So statistically, where are we then if you take in what you've just said about stepping in front of vehicles and then saving lives? Are they a good thing?
Well, I'm saying that statistically, then it's clear that whatever risks they pose are slight.
Yes. Before its announcement, the World Health Organization had assured consumers that there were no adverse effects had been established with the use of mobile phones.
Has been established, that's correct. That's
and after this report, a team of 31 scientists from 14 countries, including the United States, made the decision after reviewing peer-reviewed studies on cell phone safety that there was enough evidence to say that personal exposure to mobile phones was possibly carcinogenic. Possibly the key
means
word there.
Nothing, yep.
Possibly carcinogenic.
Possibly means that whole sentence means absolutely nothing.
But I'm possibly carcinogenic.
Did you know that eating burnt toast is possibly carcinogenic?
Yeah.
And burnt sausages and charcoal grills, and the Greeks managed to have stayed with us for a long period of time, and they did you like know their that meats well cooked.
Did you know, Andrew, that subjecting white rats to laboratory experiments can cause cancer?
White rats.
Whoa.
That's really? No, yes. I didn't know that.
Think about that.
Okay.
Just think about that carefully.
Yes.
Did you know only eating rabbit will kill you if you eat only rabbits?
Really?
Mm-hmm. You'll die.
Yeah. Same with drinking water. If you only drink water, you'll die too.
Yeah.
In excessive amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Die of boredom.
Really? Oh, okay. Also, during the course of the week, the United States says that cyber attacks are an act of war. They've moved on from Bin Laden,
and here we are.
We're now having a go at the war on terrorism continues, but just at a cyber level.
Instead of the Bay of Pigs, it's the Bay of Gigs. Am I right?
Lena.
I had another joke like that.
You'll be walking home.
Red card.
And you wonder why the female member of the panel gets no respect.
That's not because I'm a girl. It's because of my bad puns.
That's right.
Like it, Centurion. Like it. Where was I? Foreign
act
hackers, beware. The United States is now countering a cyber attack as an act of war, which means that they can set about bombing the country back to the Stone Age. Can you believe this? The Pentagon has...
So not satisfied with America declaring war on animation, they have now decided to declare war on a piece of software.
Yes.
And is that what we're saying here now?
And the poor country which that piece of software resides is going to cop it. But, yes, the Pentagon has completed its first ever cybersecurity strategy report, which aims to tackle the burgeoning threat from hackers around the world. And I can understand the fact that, you know, they could certainly do a lot of damage by providing denial of service attacks on essential services and things like that. But really, really, if, you know, from a basic understanding, you can foil DDoS attacks with some clever DNS entries and stuff like that close to the source of where it's coming from. So, I don't know. Come on, they could lift the game, surely. No?
We're all speechless.
All speechless. All right, moving right along.
I think I made my point of view clear earlier.
Yeah, all right.
Get it? Because it's like pigs.
Yes, could well be. Microsoft have released Windows 8 for a bit of a look-see. Not out to the general public. They've just shown it out.
They have not released anything.
They brought it out.
They've made a little video.
They put a YouTube video up online.
That's right. That's what they've done. They have not released Windows 8. That's absolute nonsense.
All right, I stand corrected.
Thank you.
Windows has released a video show and tell.
Come on, if the World Health Organization can't be deliberately vague and misleading, why can't we?
Well, obviously we can. Please go ahead, Andrew.
It's higher standards for community radio.
There's higher standards for this show, I can tell you that.
Never let the truth stand in the way of good stories, I say. Correct. Microsoft reveals new Windows 8 user interface. They have released videos showing and demonstrations showing the said GUI, the new graphical user interface, which we all might be interacting with. The thing I noticed when I did watch this video... They're sitting in front of this, or the man who's presenting the video is in front of a fairly neatly and anally placed sort of, you know, everything's got its spot on the wall, which has got been pinned to the right, you know, real attention to detail.
Oh, it was a very staged, orchestrated.
It was.
Yes, type A.
It was. Yeah. And the thing that I found pretty amazing is a lot of the little post-it notes had been pixeled out. So as they move the camera across, and you can see, wow, that's where Microsoft developed their GUI for Windows 8.
There seem to be
a lot of post-it notes. You have a look. The little pixels go across, and you can't quite see what...
This is what you picked up out of the video?
Well, it seemed to be as much speculation about what was on the pixelated post-it notes as anything to do with Windows 8.
Did anyone notice that they're going to turn our PCs into smartphones?
Into Phone 7.
Phone 7. Phone 8. Watch out. Here it comes.
I mean, Microsoft, seriously, I need my PC to do work.
Oh, you mean
I don't need my PC to be an iPad.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, I thought everybody needed their PC to be an iPad.
You just don't know it yet.
Having said that, the initial thing, apart from the fact that you go, oh my God, it's a tablet OS, there must be a Microsoft tablet coming, it was very much like Phone 7, because Brian's got one in the office, of which Graham pointed out he was very disappointed in Brian's choice of phone purchasing of recent times. Having been through the full gamut of iPhones to BlackBerries to Windows.
I may have said something quite harsh.
Yes, I think you did.
Well, you've upset Brian, Graham.
He's coming in next week.
He's joining us on the panel.
Is he bringing a stick?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
He's taken umbrage with your criticism of...
Is he a large, powerful gentleman?
He is. You better be careful.
I'm sorry,
is he still
Brian.
Wielding crutches?
No. His toe's better.
You can totally take him, Graham.
Yeah, the toe cutter is...
the poor man had an ingrown toenail removed. I've had that happen before. It's one of the most painful experiences of my life.
Yeah,
really?
You went to see Dr. Blood
I made
to have
a person.
It removed. What?
I made a person.
Did you?
Yeah, that would probably be a little bit more painful.
That's such a girl's point of view.
I win! Next!
Being the only bloke in the studio who's been present when said, not this particular one, not Lena, but my wife was doing the same thing, I can vouch for the fact that it does look pretty painful.
Yeah.
And the bit which made me cringe...
But more painful than having an ingrown toenail removed?
Does the word epidural mean anything to you?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, you got me there. That was more painful than ingrown toenail.
Go girls. Go girls. This won't hurt a bit. There's a reason why they lie you on your side and make you look away.
Yeah.
How did we get from Windows 8 to childbirth?
Okay.
It always gets back there.
Back
with
to
me.
Windows Sorry. 8.
Everything comes back to childbirth. Windows 8.
Well, maybe it's going to be reborn shortly.
Oh, nice segue. Nice.
You get a job on Anna Corrin's team with
mid 2012. Anywhere between mid 2012 and mid 2013, I'll be guessing you'll see this. But
in about 9 months' time.
Oh, Lena. Lena's on fire.
Oh, no. Bring back the pneumonia, then she's quiet.
Give her a glass of water. She'll be coughing for half an hour in the foyer. Yeah, well, I've been doing some soliciting and I've been saying, guys. Tell me your thoughts to some of our listeners. A couple of emails have come in. One from that IP address up the top there.
There's one from Craig. Do you want one from Craig?
Yeah, I did. I'll read Craig's one first. Hi, TTR. An interesting video. Is this Windows 8 or really big Windows phone or iGadget?
Yeah, that was my reaction. Yeah. It looks like a big Windows phone.
I wonder what was up on the wall that they blurred. Yes, everyone noticed that. That was probably the calendar for the local mechanic shop, I reckon. But the touch focus definitely points at phone/tablet implementation. This would be a big change on how we interact with PCs. The touch screen have been available for PCs for a very long time. However, there is a reason why they have not been popular. Will this change? Is this a ploy by monitor manufacturers to get us to upgrade our LCD screens? So here comes a bit of conspiracy theory here.
And Microsoft will remove keyboard support. They'll remove hardware keyboard support, so it won't support PS2 or USB keyboards.
Yeah?
Oh, I don't want that.
And we'll have to use a touchscreen keyboard. See, like this over here.
What about legacy things, says he, pointing at an iPad 2.
They're not really
going
to do that, by the way.
No.
Look, Craig goes on to make a very good point, and that's what I wanted to say.
Off you go.
Andrew. Oh, well, he says, I'm not sure this is how I want to interact with a PC. I agree 100%, Craig. That's why I have a phone or a tablet. I hardly go to my PC for the functions demonstrated because I have a smartphone. I go to the PC when I want to use a mouse and a keyboard to do the hard work.
Oh, I can't handle a mouse.
Anyway, it's pretty, says
Craig. We had a mouse plague at the moment. Wish you didn't have a pen plague. That'd be great.
But Craig's spot on. You don't want to sit down at a desk to be productive to do work and have to, you know, swoosh things around a big screen, like
you can still,
Minority Report style.
You can still plug the mouse and the keyboard in.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I
but
saw
if the user interface isn't designed to make use of them properly, then it's pointless.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
All right. Moving on. Gareth sent us an email.
Gareth is in our chat room tonight. He's not
Hi,
Gareth.
Girls, and the squeaky one.
Oh, she who has the squeaky chair.
Yeah, the squeaky chair one.
Oh,
they fixed
chair.
It.
They've oiled
they fixed it.
Oil can.
I have to say that this is the coolest thing I've seen from Microsoft since Windows Phone 7.
It's the only thing anyone's seen, Gareth, from Microsoft since Windows Phone 7.
A slick, fast, sexy, obviously WP7/Metro UI with definite tablet applications. It may be a shell over UI over Windows. Sorry, it may be a shell UI, user interface, over Windows, but that's okay because we like Windows. It's the best OS on the market. although looking further into Win 8, it looks to be more than a shell UI over Windows. And Jensen Harris said, if this is the first taste of what is to come, then the future looks very bright for Windows indeed. Compared to what Apple have unveiled for OS X, which is Lion, which we'll find out all about tomorrow, Win 8 leaves them for dead. In fact...
Who is this person?
Was there a Shetland pony in tonight, have we?
That was a very appropriate noise of of contempt from the other end of the panel.
It was.
What was your question?
I'm just wondering what this guy's been on.
Gareth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Gareth.
Sorry, Gareth, but I'm pretty much disagreeing with everything
All
you're
right.
saying here.
His last sentence is, I'm a Windows and iOS user and I like Microsoft and Apple products, but if this is the future of the PC, I can't wait for Windows 8.
I can't wait for 8. I like that. That's a good little
wait
slogan.
Wait for 8.
I can't wait for 8.
Well, we find out what Lion's going to roar tomorrow, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
WWDC.
Yeah, you can hear it on this radio station too.
You can.
If you're listening on the pod, forget it, because it's already happened. Mm-hmm. You can probably hear it on the window side if you're listening on the pod.
Tell us about it, Lena. You had all the information on
3WBC.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to the stream and you can't sleep, if you're an insomniac, tune in at 2 o'clock in the morning, our time.
Apple's not doing a live stream of WWDC this year, but on this station, 3WBC 94.1 FM, they will be streaming WWDC coverage live. That's organised by the guys at MacTalk.com.au. The broadcast begins at 2:45 a.m. Melbourne time on Tuesday the 7th, 2011.
Are you expecting anything big? There's been a lot of rumour saying that there's no new iGadgets or anything like that coming out. No. It's all software and sort of iOS type related.
Yeah, I think it'll mainly be focused on Lion and all the newies that are going to come out of that. But
so
yeah.
what we're talking about here, WWDC, is the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Yep, which is
Apple have it each year about now in San Francisco.
Yep, same time as E3, which
Steve Jobs
bloggers
gets up
adore.
So it's aimed at E3? People. It's aimed at people who write software for Apple
iOS.
Apple gear.
Yep.
Just for iOS or for Mac OS as well?
Both, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, both. But a lot of game developers like to go as well. A lot
of course.
Yeah, so it's that sort of thing. Anyone who's making apps wants to go, pretty much.
Yep.
Whether that's desktop or iGadgets or anything like that. My husband went to one in 2009.
Did he
got sent over with work. Yeah,
but of course, for the rest of the Apple fan community, it certainly is going to give a big clue as to what the future of the platform is going to be, because the first people that they want to tell about future developments are those that are going to be writing the software to run on it.
Yeah, and I think they are going to be talking about their cloud systems a bit more as well.
Well, I think that's where it's all heading, isn't it? Yeah. Microsoft have realised that. Google have been in it for a while.
Mm.
You know, Zoho, there's a lot of third-party people that are out there doing cloud. And, of course, the big thing in industry at the moment is to remove the server from the office and push everything into the cloud, because it minimises your IT costs, really, doesn't it?
Yep. But it's held in San Francisco.
It does. I love San Francisco. It's a great place.
Looks lovely.
Lydia lives there. She's our US correspondent. I haven't heard from her for a while. It's summertime over there.
We'll have to hear from her after WWDC, surely.
Yeah, well,
she'll have something about that.
You never know.
Yeah.
So,
and E3 as well is happening over in the States. As we speak. It's just about to start. Sony's press conference is early this morning, I think, or maybe it's tomorrow. I think it might be tomorrow morning.
No, see, it's still Sunday everywhere in the world for everybody else. It's just we're ahead of the world in Australia. Because it's
about time.
Monday night, isn't it?
But of course, if you want to find out what's in the Sony press release, all you've got to do is do a simple SQL injection into their website to get access to their servers, and I'm sure you can download the press release that's being prepared for tomorrow. Sure.
Probably.
Graham.
The door's open.
Back with more.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
If you're using satellite for your internet, you've got a very long lag time.
How does $3,005 grab you?
Whoa!
They'd probably get rid of the step-up, step-down transformer issue and waste it.
So this has got a whack of zero. This
correct
control.
I don't have shares in them. It's not a political statement. It's just a lot of fun.
Qantas are wanting to clarify.
Pioneer have just assimilated Netspace into the Borg.
Entertaining.
Graham, the name of the volcano was...
It's unpronounceable.
Informative.
Oh, look, hang on. On the back it says iPad.
Independent.
You tweeted it.
Me? Don't point at me in that tone of voice.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
This is never going to get off the ground.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Ah, oh, that's indeed you are.
Back.
Yes, back already. It's very quick on the podcast, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Andrew McComb, Dr. Graham, Dr. Ron, Dr. Lena in this evening. Full collective noun of... I don't know.
I'm the
doctors.
The pun doctor.
I'm Andrew. Right? I'm just Andrew. Come and join us in the chat. A lot of people in the chat tonight. George is there. Hello, Georgia. Jack's there. A-triple-W. And a lot of our regulars in there as well.
Darren in the UK is in the UK in the chat room.
Darren in the UK, yes. I admire his their aviation system over there. It's just stunning. I've been watching Come Fly With Me with wonderful television show, which is just...
Really?
With the Little Britain boys.
That's correct.
It's a little bit tamer than Little Britain.
It is just
not quite as in-your-face offensive.
I know, that's why it's not commercial television.
It's just ordinarily...
Silly.
Yeah, offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Little Britain offensive.
Yeah. Just racist instead of racist and sexist and bigoted all at the same time.
But I must admit, I like the tech comedies. You've been watching Big Bang lately?
Yes.
It's a very funny, sort of nerdy type sort of show.
Hang on a minute.
Graham's put his fingers in his ears.
Everyone. He took his headphones off and stuck his fingers in.
No spoiler warning required.
Okay, we're not going to talk about it.
No, we're not going to spoil anything.
There's some good stuff around
it. Leonard dies.
Lena.
We just said no spoilers.
Sorry.
What have you done?
I haven't watched any of the latest slot.
My bad.
Deal with you later, young lady.
Graham will have to edit that out.
Yep.
Now, something during the course of the week, which I thought was really quite funny from a technical point of view, which is not technical, in Victoria here.
Just before you move on, a dose of doctors.
A dose of doctors? Collective noun for doctors? Okay.
I love collective nouns.
A dose of, yes?
A gaggle of school children. It's not really true.
No.
That's geese.
It is.
Sorry.
Works?
What? Yes. Mm. Collective nouns. Mm.
That's funny.
The curse of the foul language law here in Victoria. They've brought this back to the forefront again, whereas...
slow news week.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this was just funny, I thought, because a lot of technical people, you know, you sit there over a dilemma with your computer, and what do? You...
Swear.
You curse it in the best way you know how. Well, don't do this in public anymore, especially if you're working on site.
Ridiculous.
It
I
is.
Agree.
It is.
I'm because so mad about it.
Because now you're subject to
nice editing, Graham.
Yes, thank you very much.
if you do it now in Victoria, you get a $238.90. Don't know how they work that out, but $238. I wonder
it's
if that
adjusted for CPI.
Which include GST?
Yeah.
Oh, good, because you're providing a service to the community, aren't you?
By swearing, and yes. Then you pay for it.
Correct. Yeah. So
teaching kids at the footy. Expanding yeah, well, their vocabulary.
If you're a Collingwood football supporter, you're in deep trouble, aren't you? You can't talk to the umpire anymore, otherwise you'll get pinged $238.90. Yep.
Which would almost be their entire weekly income.
Ooh!
Graham.
Should I go to another break?
Ooh! Ouch!
Oh, dear.
Straight to the burns unit. Ow!
So, but anyway, where this relates in the tech world is when you're doing your upgrades and it doesn't quite work right, just keep that in mind.
Don't be in a public place. Don't be within hearing of a public place. That's what Andrew's saying.
A public place. Is the workspace a public place?
What about Twitter?
Well, it can be.
Well, that's a public place, really. Mm. Yeah, I wonder if how that goes. They'll ping you for getting on Twitter or Facebook.
Everyone swears on Twitter.
Look, it's not a new foul language law. The law has always been there. All they've done is change it so that police can issue a penalty notice. They haven't changed the standard of the language. They haven't changed the test for what the words are that offend people or anything like that.
Are the words written down?
Is there a list?
That's what I was going to ask. Is the words written down like in the spam list? You know how you've got a spam list in your email client and you put words into it?
No, there's not a
list.
There's
not a list of words?
It has to be what a reasonable person would find offensive in the circumstances. So at the football, when you're barracking and yelling at a particular football team, is totally different to being outside of a kindergarten where young children are playing.
See, it should be a law against antisocial behaviour, not against swearing in particular. Urinating in public.
There is.
And all that. Yeah.
There is.
Why can't it just come all under that?
It does. It's the
law
same.
Law against being a jerk.
Yes, it does. It's all in the same legislation. But all they've done now is enable police to write out tickets like they do with traffic tickets, rather than in the past they had to actually take you to court.
Warlocks.
Tech Talk Radio does not offer legal advice.
Warlock, we offer collective nouns.
I tried to get a solicitor on the program.
Did you know that? Hang on. Yes, no, I didn't. Hang on. Warlock in the chat said it's a giggle of girls.
A giggle of girls.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's very appropriate, isn't it?
My favourite collective noun is an irony of hipsters. An irony of hipsters.
Andrew's processing that.
A bit of a double entendre there, really, isn't it?
No, it's really not.
Okay.
The solicitor laughed at me and said, "What, do you want me to get sued? You guys are going to get sued. I'm not coming on your radio show. I wouldn't say half the things you say."
We're complete ignorance, can't we? Yeah. Know that. Google Apps drop support for older browsers, though if you're using IE6, here's another nail in its coffin, really, isn't it?
Oh.
Google has told users of its app suite they will have to download modern browsers for future access to its applications. In a blog post earlier this week, the internet giant claimed older versions of Chrome, Firefox, Internet Explorer, and Safari didn't have the chops to provide you with the same high-quality experience as new browsers, preventing Google from providing an adequate level of service.
So if I go to my apps account with IE6, it won't work now. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Try it. Have you got IE6 loaded up on your old ThinkPad?
I've got my XP Mate here. Have you?
He's just remoted into my work computer.
No, this is all running here. This is running here.
Don't let the truth stand in the way of a good story.
He's just going to Sony. And going through the back.
A
the
quick
back
old
there.
Tab away from Sony. Yeah.
So that's what an SQL injection looks like.
I can show you, actually.
Lightning fast fingers. Look.
It is IE6. It's my old friend.
Really? Anyway, for applications to spring even farther ahead of traditional software, their teams have needed to make way for new capabilities, and modern browsers were the way to do it. I must admit, modern browsers do pose some great new features. During the week, we were playing around with HTML5 at work.
And you were
video.
Looking at video in the web browser.
Yep.
Without a plugin or anything like that. That's just self-contained in the web browser and it plays video.
And it played incredibly well on IE9 because it's got the video acceleration built in and all that sort of stuff. It really, really works well. You play the same video in some of the older versions and some of the less tech savvy. Like even Google couldn't handle it too well. Chrome couldn't handle it too well. Google's browser. Firefox just ground to a halt, but
with a new version of Internet Explorer,
IE9 just handled video in HTML5 really, really well. Didn't drop frames, it was smooth, it was full screen, it was just lovely. How are you going over there, Graham?
My Google Apps Mail is working fine in IE6, so perhaps it's something they haven't.
Maybe I should read the next paragraph because I haven't got to this bit yet.
Oh, okay.
As a result, the company will be discontinuing Google Apps support from August 1, 2000. So, yes, it'll be
Irishy blows.
Down the track. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so...
It's underrated.
But I think it's...
There's a life in it yet.
I think it's time, don't you?
Yes.
IE6. How old is it now?
No.
13 years old?
Life in it yet. It's good. It's good. Old faithful.
Million years old.
And some of the old versions of Safari and Firefox 2 and...
Kill them all.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Who invented this HTML thing anyway?
HTML5, says Georgia in the chat room. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Bring it on. What else should we talk about this evening? You remember iNet? And they went... AFACT took them to court over their users sharing files on their network. And then we spoke about safe harbour laws where telcos
which
and
don't
ISPs,
exist in Australia, but which do in the United States.
Yes. What telcos can't be held responsible for what their users do on the network.
Where are we with AFACT versus IINet at the moment?
We don't need a law like that in Australia because it should be common sense.
Uh-huh. You would hope.
So swearing in public.
Yeah,
you
that
need a
too.
Law for that.
Anyway, the Australian Federation Against Copyright Theft, otherwise known as AFACT, will press for a revised ruling on costs because it came down to the dollars, who was going to pay for what and
of
how
course.
Much.
Of course. Yes, of course.
When it fronts the full bench of the Federal Court Wednesday in its continuing copyright stoush with iNet. It will be AFACT's first time before the full bench since its appeal was ruled unsuccessful in February.
Back in February? Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what ends up happening, and I think they did get a good... Because that happened last week, didn't? Or is it this week? I believe that the rumor has it that they're going to get a bit of a discount on copyright on their costs and stuff
on the costs that were awarded against AFACT.
So that was still all in the press as we speak at the moment. So this will hopefully be the last time until the next time, I guess.
Well, I think they were awarded full costs. Was that right? And what they're going to ask for is that they only want to have to pay 60%. They think that's fair. So a bit more than half of IINet's legal costs.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, it must be fairly expensive in the High Court, I would imagine.
Oh, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, I would expect.
Do they work like some of the lower courts do, you know, 10 till 2? Is that how they work? Or do they hang around a bit longer because they're a bit more, they've got a bit more, I don't know, clout?
I'm pleased to say that I've never had any experience with anything to do with the federal court, so I can't answer that question, Andrew.
That's good.
And hope not to.
Now, while we're in court.
In a nice way.
Handy. Do you know who Handy is?
No.
I didn't. Handy is a basically an importer of tablets. Anyway, they imported their tablets and they put dodgy Microsoft software on them.
Right.
And they're a Queensland-based company and they've been found in the wrong. And as a result, they've been ordered to pay Microsoft Australia $70,000 in an out-of-court settlement.
Yep.
Over the sale of devices alleged.
And they haven't been ordered to. They've said
they
out
will.
Of court
yes,
before
correct.
Being ordered to do something even worse.
Yes. So they've offered $70,000 and this is because of these devices that have allegedly running counterfeit Windows 7 software.
Ouch. How could they do that?
Why would you do it?
And it would have to be a conscious decision. Surely it's not a mistake that somebody's made.
No. Handy also agreed to assist its customers by getting them genuine copies of Windows 7 Professional at no extra charge, according to a statement issued by Microsoft today. Affected Handy customers were told to contact the device importer directly. So you'll be given, obviously, a disk and run that up or just swap the key number over, the serial number that you do. Because then you go to system and you go change the key, whack the key in. Yep. It does an authenticate online and says, congratulations, this is a genuine copy of Windows 7.
Because you would expect that all of their customers that had bought the Handy devices, they'd be screaming because it'll be popping up as counterfeit software, wouldn't it?
Presumably.
If it hadn't activated correctly.
I did. I had an instance during the course of the week where, because of the level of games I play with Microsoft, I have an interesting arrangement because...
What are you trying to say here, Andrew?
Well, I'm a partner, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And when you get the partnership, you get the not-for-resale stuff, which is for development and research and advertising and all that
use
sort of stuff.
Internally.
Yep. Now, Windows 7 has recently came out with a download for Service Pack 1.
That's right.
Now, I built up a new machine during the course of the week and I said, I'll load up Windows 7 Service Pack 1.
Yep.
And as soon as I loaded it up, it said, this is not genuine. Straight out of the box.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, straight out of the box on a brand new machine, not connected to the internet. This is not legitimate software. So I said, hang on a minute, this is legitimate as it gets.
It usually gives you several days to activate.
Oh, I did, but it told me that it was not legit
until you activate
from the first boot. Well, no, normally it'll let you run it, gives you 30 days grace, and then says you've got to activate it, and if you can't
well,
do it...
Well, you've got to activate it within that period, yeah.
Yeah, but this didn't. This said straight up. It came up. As soon as I booted it up for the very, very first time to come into the logon screen, it said, nah, this is not legit software, and I'm only going to give you a little bit of it. So I had to activate it straight away, is what they made me do. And then it came up and said, yeah, congratulations, this is legit. Well, I thought that was interesting. You're looking at me perplexed, Graham.
Yeah, I'm wondering what... Because I do this quite often myself.
Well, it'd be interesting to know how you go. So brand new version.
Well, I did one the other day, and it behaved in the expected way.
Really?
Did you perhaps miskey the key when you entered it during
install? No, because when I jumped in online and said validate, it said, yeah, Richard
Ditch. Validated it, didn't ask you to key it in again.
No.
Okay.
No. So, anyway, strange things.
Wonder
anyway,
if you've computers reached like the. That. Wonder if you've reached the limit of uses for your key.
But how would it know if I wasn't online? Because this was a brand new box, straight out of the box.
Yeah, good point. I know.
Yeah, anyway.
Mystery.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they're all set to do us. Now, what else this week?
Microsoft, for people that are in the business who are Microsoft partners, they do a good deal for the what they call the Action Pack.
Yes.
Which is probably what you're talking about. So people might like to know that if you are in the IT business and you use Microsoft products as part of your business
we develop web services.
If you provide IT services or you provide development services like you do, Andrew, on the web,
yep.
That Microsoft have this product which is the Action Pack, which if you can become a Microsoft partner, if you qualify, you can then order the Action Pack and it costs you a certain amount of money. And it's subscription-based software.
Yeah,
and, but you
that,
get
$400, $500 annually these days.
Yep, and depending on exactly which version you get, whether you opt to have them send out discs or whether you download the ISOs and burn the discs yourself or whatever. But for those $500 or $600 or whatever it is, you get a great deal. You get basically one copy of every server, almost all the servers that they provide. You get SQL Server, Exchange Server, SBS, all the bits and pieces, media streaming stuff that you use, Andrew.
Oh, not anymore.
Oh, you used to use, Andrew?
They don't give you that anymore.
Oh, do they? Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
People trying to listen to it on the stream, they might have gone, where's that streaming server gone?
Well,
I think you've worked it out.
And they give you 10 copies of each client, so you get 10 licenses of...
it's well worth it. If you develop
of
Webby.
Office and Windows and all those things, the only thing is you only get the current versions. You can't downgrade to the non-current versions. You can only use them internally in your business. You can't use them on customers' machines or on other sites or whatever.
Ah, that's what they're for. They're for development.
But can you use them in a production environment, Graham?
You can use them for production, yeah. Okay. So you use the Action Pack to run your business, yeah.
Yep.
As your office server and your office workstations and so on.
That is value for money, so like $500 for
that. Really
all
is
that.
For people that are in the business, and it's really good for Microsoft to sort of help out the people that are basically out there supporting and promoting their products.
It's also good for Microsoft to get the products out there and get people using them.
Exactly right. It means that a business like mine, a very small business like mine, and a business like Andrew's has got access to all the current technologies without it being a huge expense. So it it very helps so that we have the knowledge to provide information to our customers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Apple,
I just thought that
Apple,
was worth mentioning
think
while you were
Adobe,
talking about.
Adobe, I don't think do that. It's very a Microsoft thing, that, which is probably good. Anyway, before we go to the break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Lena about what's going on with computer-ish
pew, that one.
Does that mean I don't have to play it? You can sing it for us.
Me?
Yeah,
you can do
the MySex song.
No way, Jose.
Yeah. I just thought there's a couple of other telecommunications or some mobile phone-related things. 4G is perfect for emergency use. According to Telstra, so commercial Telstra's trying to sell up the 4G, which is the next generation of mobile data and stuff like that for emergency services.
I knew Telstra were going to get into trouble when they called their 3G network Next G, because there's going to be a time where it becomes the last G, previous G.
Previous G. Speaking of words and conundrums, did we just have the penultimate space shuttle launch?
We did. And I deliberately,
have I finally got it right?
Deliberately tried to avoid using Andrew's word of the month.
It's been Andrew's word of the month for about a year and a half now.
Since December,
I think it's probably time he had a new one.
It's November, actually.
Since November, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the other bit of telecommunications news, which I got a bit of a
laugh
at. Yes,
to answer your question.
Thank you. Is Optus is rolling quietly, is the word here, according to ZDNet. Optus quietly rolls out Edge on its network. Well, Edge is a very old technology, which is really, I think, quite typical of what Optus would do. But Optus has begun quietly rolling out improvements to its network technology in Sydney, Adelaide and Melbourne to improve internet and email access for mobile customers unable to receive full 3G network coverage. So if you're an Optus, you might see a little E pop up on your mobile device very shortly.
So rather than try to fix the 3G coverage, they're deploying old technology as a Band-Aid solution.
Yeah, so the E means what speed's E? E's probably, you're lucky to get a meg down, even if that, aren't you? Very, very slow technology.
Mm.
In fact, you could probably pedal faster in a lot of instances. Use that carrier pigeon. Watch out, Vodafone users. They've probably got a bit of Edge out there too on their 3G sort of perimeters.
Well, Edge is the first 3G data generation, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really
the first high-speed
HSDPA. So enhanced data rates for GSM or evolution, whatever they call it, Edge for enhanced. Yeah, anyway, it's a very old technology, but good on you. Optus rolling it out at the moment, so.
They're doing what they can.
Yeah,
they're doing what they think's best.
I can, yes. It's probably one of the most oversold, it's my opinion, it's probably one of the most oversold networks because that's where, what's that carrier, a Mason? They're on that network. Dodo and all those, I think. No, Dodo's with Telstra, I think. Look, don't quote me. I could be wrong. But, yeah, there's a lot of resold products on the Optus network. So and you've got to be an animal to use it. Got to be a zoo, a zebra.
You have to be a zebra, a wildebeest,
a raccoon.
An elephant.
Yeah.
A giraffe.
Yeah. That campaign, what? How long has Singtel been in this country now for? 15 years?
Oh, since about 94, 95, around about then.
Yeah. Exactly. And we've still got the same campaign. I think we're a bit over it, aren't we? Time for a change.
I was in grade four. In 1994.
That's disgraceful.
How old do you feel right now? This is my revenge.
Hang on, my arthritis is kicking in my thumb. Can I press this button over here? Oh, there it goes. I can do it. There we go.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Talk Radio.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Adobe.
Yeah, it's a feature, but it's a feature that has an unintended consequence.
No.
Don't do that now.
I can't do 70 meg right now.
Do you use MobileMe?
No.
Yeah, for the promo, what sound would that
sort
be?
Sort of like that sort of a noise.
Really?
Well, that's a fair question.
It is a fair question.
It won't go in the promo. I was quite confident of that.
Kids thought it was great too. They are. They're big. They make a lot of noise and they smell.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
During that break, Graham's been telling us how easy it is to hack into the Sony network. Actually showing people's exploits into hacking the Sony network. So some of the things you said should have gone to the radio, but we were listening to music at the time. What were you saying? That Sony haven't really adhered to their... since the hack went down on their PlayStation account.
Yep.
They've still got dodginess out there happening, and I think it's been just yesterday or the day before they were hacked again.
Yeah, by a group called Lulzsec. Which lulls is a corruption of lols, LOL, as in lots of laughs. These are people who are security enthusiasts who are doing this for
That's
fun.
A good way of calling it security enthusiasts. Yes.
They apparently get together
Protective
online
services.
On a Friday night, and
We do a radio show. They sit around and hack.
They sit around and see who they can embarrass online.
Yep.
Through just woefully inadequate security.
Sony seems to be the choice of flavour at the moment, isn't it?
Can you push a mute button for a second there? Because I really should sit down for this.
Which one are you? That one? There we go. Good. I've got to get in the right one. Sorry. I'll push your fader up again now.
Yes. Sorry about that. I had my microphone in a silly place because I was stretching my legs. and they found that they could very easily get into sonypictures.com and get hold of a whole lot of really interesting information really easily.
They're not even encrypting passwords or anything like that.
Well, I'm taking the word of this Lulzsec group, but this is from their press statement. Which is hilarious, by the way, if you go online and look for it.
But you were saying these guys basically are out there to highlight deficiencies in people's security.
Yeah.
They tell them about it. When they don't do anything, then they embarrass them
then
in public.
Then they embarrass them publicly. Yeah. Yep. So our goal here is not to come across as master hackers hence what we're about to reveal. SonyPictures.com was owned by that, they mean controlled, but you know, they gained access to them, by a very simple SQL injection, one of the most primitive and common vulnerabilities. Now, we've been hearing about SQL injections to get access to web servers for a long,
what
long time.
What is an SQL? Search Query Language Injection, SQL.
Basically...
Structured Query Language.
Structured database language.
Yep, it's the language that you use to write and access and control databases.
Yep.
So the website has a database behind it where it's got all its information stored in it. What they're doing is they're, through a cleverly designed query to the web server, they're managing to inject the commands directly into the SQL server that's behind the web server.
They go along, they find an open door in the server which hasn't been locked properly. They haven't deadlocked it. They throw this SQL into the server and the server responds with usernames and passwords.
Now, this is a hack that's been known for years and years and years, and no reputable web server should be vulnerable to this anymore. From a single injection, we accessed everything, they said.
Everything being usernames, passwords.
What's worse, every bit of data we took wasn't encrypted. Sony stored over 1 million passwords of its customers in plain text, which means it's just a matter of taking it. Now, normal practice in a network would be that you use what's called hashing of passwords.
Yeah, you get the stars, so don't you?
You don't store the password in its original form. You feed it through a mathematical process to create a hash of the password that it's not easy to reverse. So you can't ever reverse back and find out what the password was. Now, when the user actually connects and types their password in, you hash what the user types and compare it to the hash that you've stored in your thing. So,
if 123 hash 3 6 exclamation mark and all that, you know, the computer easy, you get matches and...
Yeah, so if the converted version matches, then the original must have matched. But yeah, so you can't ever convert back to the original.
Right. You can't reverse engineer it. You just compare the process.
Sony have never heard of this, and they've stored this basic security premise that even I know, and I'm not a security expert, they don't know about this, and they've stored all their customers' passwords in plain text. So they just copied. These guys have just copied them. They've got the... a single database server that's holding tons and tons of different stuff for different websites and different Sony departments and so on.
Does Sony take PayPal, by curiosity? Because I wouldn't be giving them a credit card number when I log back into my
PlayStation
network. Yeah,
looking at this, I'm going to be very careful about...
As Adam says,
I think what I'll do...
123 fake street.
Because I've recently bought a PlayStation 3. Yeah.
Have you been able to log in yet?
I haven't, no. Right. And I've got games that every time they prompt me 3 or 4 or 5 times in a row. Do you want to log into the PlayStation Network? No. Do you want to log into the PlayStation Network? No. Do you want to log into the PlayStation Network? No.
And
eventually you give up, you give in and you say yes, and then it comes up with a screen, an error screen, saying, it's not available.
Yeah, so. I logged in on the weekend and I got as far as saying there's a welcome back pack, which I think Lena's going to talk about very shortly.
Yep.
And I got into there being such a point where it said error and then gave me a big error string, so I gave up after that. But anyway, that was life. Anyway, we'll talk about that in just a second.
Yep, these people, if they've provided also a summary of what they did and what they found, so they've shown you what the SQL injection is, so hopefully Sony's...
excellent.
Web technicians have looked at that and
probably not.
Hole, hopefully.
Yes, you can live in hope.
So they've got a file. In this file, you can find 12,500 customers of Sony. Includes data such as birthday address, email, full name, password.
Just what
IDs.
Any crook needs for a bit of identity theft.
Another
thrill,
file, 21,000 customers of Sony, simple email password drop. Another file, 20,000 Sony music coupons, whatever they might happen to be.
Discount vouchers. Now, that's more like it.
They only took 20,000, but there were 3.5 million there, so they...
3.5? Gee whiz.
So they recommend that if you want a Sony music coupon, that's where you go to get one.
Yeah.
Other things, music codes, there's a file with the layout of the database to help you find other things around.
Handy.
to help you navigate the database once you've downloaded it.
Exactly right.
Yeah, very handy.
Yeah, very cool. So,
go Sony, well done.
Yeah.
Not quite.
What they might like to consider doing is hiring a security expert like these guys are.
Yeah, hire one of these hackers, they'll fix you right up. Hey, just before we're running out of time, Oddspot Gadget Website of the Week coming up very shortly. The Worldwide Developer Conference for Apple is tomorrow. In fact, it's in about 6 hours' time, just looking at the clock here from our point of view. So we can't tell you anything about it until next week. like everything in tech, it always happens on Tuesdays for us, doesn't it? but anyway, keep an eye on the Twitter feeds tomorrow. Just some more information. Rumours are flying around about the WWDC and the iCloud service, which will function as many have expected, offering iTunes uses the ability to save their purchases to the iCloud, which is really good, which means that instead of downloading your song and if you lose it, too bad, so sad, it now actually goes into the iCloud where you'll be able to listen to it from anywhere, browser or Apple device. $25 a year is the rumoured cost. That's not bad, really.
I'll pay it. Yeah, I'll pay it.
Would you?
Yep.
Because you'd be able to put other things in there, surely.
Hopefully it's a good way to get pages and numbers and all your like spreadsheets and everything to all be on the cloud and stuff as well. That'd be handy.
Yeah. So you're not locked to the one machine.
Yeah. It'd be handy for me to have the iPad showing the same docs as my MacBook and all.
Yeah, well, they're saying that they're going to extend iCloud to concept to movies, TV shows and other digital content. Apple will be announcing iCloud tomorrow.
Yay!
So watch this space. Steve will get up there and after he does the...
Will he?
Well, yeah, good question.
He might not.
He normally manages to get
there.
Pretty
sick.
Yeah, but it's like the iPad thing. He rose from the ashes to come and do the iPad thing, so he might do the same here for that.
Maybe.
Hey, I should play this because...
Speaking of zombies...
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
As we mentioned before, the PlayStation Network is back online, partially, after almost 3 weeks of being down, a very, very long 3 weeks for some people.
Well, it means that we haven't been able to race or play or buy or share or...
listen or watch or do many things.
Yeah, it just goes to show that one company can have this much stranglehold over the entertainment community. Consumers of...
That's one way of looking at it, yes.
Well, you don't see it from anyone else, do you? Like Warner Brothers.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Yeah.
The same thing could happen to Xbox.
Yeah.
If they haven't looked after their stuff and learnt a lot of lessons from what's been going on.
Well, it's always good being the next person along because you would be watching, wouldn't you? But yes.
It's been a major thing. It's affected over 100 million people. To say sorry for this inconvenience, Sony have put together a welcome back package.
Yeah.
As if we went on holiday and just forgot we had PlayStations for a little while.
They're trying to think this will smooth us over and it'll all be hunky-dory again very shortly.
The big problem is this is such a huge problem and such a big, massive inconvenience that's inconvenienced so many people. Nothing they can do will make it up to us.
But they
can't possibly do anything to make it up for us because it's happened to so many people. So it's this paradox. They can't win. It's a lose-lose
situation. Yeah, what do you want them to do?
So tell us about this package. There's five games and you pick any two,
You pick two, yeah. I've got the list here and a bit of information.
Okay, do tell.
To help you choose which ones you want.
I haven't worked out which ones I want to get. Obviously, there's some I want for the kids and I'm going to choose one for the kids and one for me.
That's a good idea. That's what I was going to recommend.
Oh, good. Okay, tell me.
We've got Little Big Planet, which I've talked about before.
I remember that.
That one's a good one for the kids. I think everyone who owns a PlayStation should have Little Big Planet. It's kind of the rules. It's like having a Nintendo and having Mario. It just happens. That's just how it should be.
So Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet.
Refresh our memories about what Little Big Planet is.
Okay. It's a puzzle platformer with a focus on user-generated content. So you can do you can make a lot of changes in your world. You can make levels yourself very easily, just dragging stickers, like platforms, dragging them up and sticking them on places and making your own levels the way you want, which is something that people really, really love. You play this little character called Sackboy, which is a little knitted guy, and he's very, very cute.
He's like a little doll, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a little doll with a really big head.
Have you played this, Dr. Ron?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. And it's narrated by Stephen Fry.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is... And he like came Stephen back to Fry. Do Little Big Planet 2 as well. But so it's Little Big Planet 2 is out, but Little Big Planet 1 is free in this package, so highly recommend you get it.
All right, so that's one for the kids?
That's one for everyone.
For the family?
Adults will get a kick out of it as well. Siblings, I think your girls will like it because they can try and make better levels than each other.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, there's a bit of
My girls are ferociously competitive.
Yeah, they'll love that. Yep. They'll love that. That's rated G.
Excellent.
Metacritic, which is a service that aggregates all critics' scores or people they figure are big in the industry, and then they give it a score out of 100. Metacritic gave that 95.
Oh, okay.
So that it's critically acclaimed. It's very, very well loved by a lot of people. That was released in October 2008.
Yep.
And it's developed by Media Molecule, but all of these are published by Sony. This is why Sony can't give them away, because Sony are the publishers of these games. Another one not for kids. This might be one for you. This is the one I'd pick.
I'll know when you hear it.
I am picking this one, actually. Infamous.
Infamous.
It's an open-world, single-player, action-adventure sandbox game, which is a bit of a mouthful.
What's a sandbox game?
You can wander around doing whatever you want. pretty much. So a lot like The Sims, or it doesn't have, it's not linear, so it's not walking down a corridor, turn left, turn right, go over here, go over there. It's
sounds like Portal.
Open world sort of, no, Portal's very walk down corridor, go here, yes. Go there.
Yeah.
Open world is yeah, literally, Sandbox is open world. It's rated M, so not for the kiddies.
Yeah.
Why
was it rated M? Is it graphics? Is it sound? Is it pictures? What is it?
Supernatural themes, a bit of violence. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You play a bike messenger protagonist, Cole McGrath.
And you ride through traffic doing stunts and things.
No.
Okay.
You're caught in an explosion that wipes out several city blocks of this place called Empire City. And that explosion leaves him with electricity-based superpowers.
Ah, oh, cool.
Yeah. And
I love when that happens.
Yeah, I know, right? Like when you get bitten by a spider, a nuclear spider.
Radioactive spider.
With the city plunged into chaos, he uses these powers to then try and restore order to the city. But along the way, you're given opportunities to use your powers for good or for evil. And there's a karma system there. So you can change the actual storyline and certain things that are happening depending on your decisions. Which is something that I kind of like and I kind of don't like all at the same time. But it means it's good replayability because you can make the opposite decision that you did last time and see how that changes.
Okay.
So you get your money's worth for that kind of thing, which is great when it's free. Infamous, yep. That's rated M. Yep. Metacritic gave that an 85 out of 100. That was released in June 2009 and is developed by Sucker Punch Productions.
Elroy,
you know, it's not as bad as a film.
Elroy in our chat room says Infamous is fantastic.
Yep.
Even better if you get it free.
Exactly. Great value for money.
Okay, good. So take that on board, PlayStation 3 users.
Yep. The next one is Wipeout HD /Fury, which is
I saw this
suitable
one.
For all ages as well.
Yeah.
This is a racing game with anti-gravity aircraft. So it's sort of a spaceship racing game.
And good for the kiddies.
Yeah. You can pew lasers at people and, you know, pew, 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 come pew, pew, pew. You can do that.
Like your theme song.
Like my
play
theme
that again
song.
For you.
And you use all different weaponry. It's your standard racing game in terms of the guts of it. You've got time trials, tournaments, single races, speed laps, time trials, zone modes, all that. It's got a really good soundtrack.
Yep.
Rated everyone.
Yep.
Metacritic gave that an 89 out of 100, so that's pretty good.
That's good. They're all good games then. They're not your average, we've got to get rid of these.
Yeah, no, they're not your crappy ones, generally. That was developed by Sony Liverpool.
So they've made an effort.
They have, yeah.
Graham, you can't get these. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just thinking all of this because I didn't have the PlayStation before.
You didn't have your account before it went belly up.
I'm left out. I'm the forgotten PlayStation.
No, you're not the forgotten. You're the new generation.
You're being discriminated against.
I am.
Because you didn't have your PSN account.
That's right.
And you were inconvenienced just like everyone else
was. Yes, because I couldn't sign up for all that time.
And still can't sign up.
But now you're even more inconvenienced because not only can you not sign up for so long, you're not going to get any free games out of it.
That's right.
Tell you what, I'll buy you Little Big Planet.
Oh.
The next one is Ratchet and Clank Quest for Booty, which I think you can guess.
Just be careful when you say
probably,
that so fast.
Yes, probably.
What rating does that have?
That's PG, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Based on the name alone.
It's a little bit cartoony and silly, so it's not as rude as it sounds, but there are a few things there.
That educate my girls.
There's a bit of poo humour and that kind of thing.
Oh, they love
so
it.
It's, yeah. That's a
toilet humour and young children. Yes.
Yeah, platform puzzle solving type adventure.
Oh, more nice people. Georgia in the chat's offering me her BSN login.
Oh. That's a great idea, actually. Then just download the games onto your hard drive and then go back into your login. They're on there. Done.
Oh, that's sneaky. Can you do that?
Work? Would that work?
You can do that on Xbox. I don't know if you can on the PlayStation. You probably could.
I'm sure there'll be people trying it now.
Yeah.
Graham, meet Georgia. Good. You go off in a private chat now and you can sort all that out.
We'll talk after the show.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have your people call her people. Yes. The Ratchet and Clank's a bit complex to explain. It's in a part of a trilogy with a lot going on, but it's comparable to kind of a Conker's Bad Fur Day type game, if you remember that on the N64. It's only about 3 or 4 hours worth of gameplay, though, so I'd be tempted to say maybe not that one.
Okay. No booty.
Unless
for you.
You've got all of the other ones or the other ones you would have chosen, and then you've got not much choice.
Yep.
That's rated PG, developed by Insomniac Games. The other one is Dead Nation.
This sounds good, doesn't it? What's this about?
This is your generic zombie apocalypse shoot 'em up.
Oh, good. Clay liked this in the chat. Which, I think Clay was after a zombie one, wasn't he?
If you're after a zombie one, I'd go Dead Rising 2, not this one. But that's just me.
Yeah.
But this one's free. So money's used to purchase new weapons and is earned by killing zombies. It's rated M. Metacritic gave it a 77, which I think is pretty generous.
Really?
Released December 2010.
Have you seen the film Zombieland?
No.
No?
I've got zombie fatigue.
Have you? Mm. Oh, okay. Zombieland's a very funny film. It's a bit like well, those scary movie takeoffs where they take off scary movies. Mm. Zombieland's a bit like takes off zombies.
Oh, well, I could probably deal with that then.
Do you?
Yeah, if it's ironic.
It's very silly. Anyway, move on. We're eating into Dr. Onstein now.
Sorry. If you've got a PS3, they were the PS3 ones. Yep. If you've got a PSP, you're entitled to Little Big Planet PSP, Mod Nation Races PSP,
yeah,
Pursuit Force, and Killzone Liberation. Out of those, I'd recommend Little Big Planet and Mod Nation Races. Out of the PS3 ones, Little Big Planet and Infamous probably get my vote.
Yeah.
For one for everyone.
Yeah.
One for the kids and one for the adults.
Yep.
You also get 30 days PlayStation Plus subscription for free.
What's that?
It's basically helps with your online multiplayer and whatnot, and it's a lot like the Xbox Live type
really?
Service.
So if you're not a multiplayer game, it's not really, it doesn't matter?
Oh, there's other services there, like some movie content and whatnot, but
okay.
I don't personally buy it. But not understand it, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
People who are already subscribers get 60 days.
They get a bit of extra boost there. Oh, well, that's good.
Considering you pay for it.
So as soon as we can log in, we can do this, can we?
I think so, yeah. I think it's all ready to go. Once you've changed your password and done all that.
Yeah, I did that the other day, but I still got an error on the weekend when I went to snoop in there. Because you dig in, you click on, you go to the PlayStation Store, then on the right-hand side of the screen, there's a big thing that says Welcome Back Package.
Mm-hmm.
Then it shows you three icons, and you click the games, and then it comes up error ABC14627.
Oh, okay. Probably just try again an hour or so later.
Yeah.
Anyway. You mentioned changing your passwords. I do have to mention this. I know you're pushing for time, Andrew, but it's really important. Think about that password that was your old Sony password. Remember that it might be compromised. If you've used it anywhere else on your Facebook account or your Twitter account or your email or whatever else you've used on, change it there as well.
Mm. Good idea.
And don't use a password on a Sony system that you use anywhere else ever again. Okay, Sony systems have their own special password now.
Well, they've got this slapdash attitude towards security. Yep. That's important.
Yeah, we just can't trust them at the moment.
No.
And the PS4 is on its way. Sony has begun development on the PS4 mm-hmm. with Games Giant confirming that
work. Just bought the PlayStation 3.
Correct. Welcome to the world of technology. Just jump in and downhill from there on in.
You've had 5 years to buy one, granted. Yeah. Like, you've had 5 years. Come on.
Yeah, so that's obviously, they haven't given dates or anything like that yet for when it's going to come out. But
we'll hear about it. E3's on this week. So we'll
E3,
hear about it.
Yes, indeed it is. All right, we're going to take our break back. Oddspot Gadget website and app of the week after this.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened during the course of the week.
It's a new experience, agreeing with
Senator
Conroy.
It's hard, isn't it?
And Julia.
Julia.
Julia. The more they lock it down, the more people will work around it.
Is it?
I don't know.
Something I don't know.
No, I don't.
I just tried to unlock Andrew's phone with my passcode.
If you're going to cross the road, look both ways.
Entertaining.
So no more pub runs.
No more pub runs.
Informative.
Look, I agree with you, Graham.
Independent.
I can feel a churn coming on.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I mentioned the word Optus, and I think you've thrown petrol over them.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
Well, this is exciting. We've got new music.
Really?
New bed there.
Yeah.
We've had that for a few weeks.
Have we?
Where have you been?
Oh, I can't even afford to pay attention anymore.
I had to fix up my templates a few weeks ago.
I just do it to keep growing on his toes. Quick, quick.
The Dell Streak is described as a go-anywhere entertainment, social connection and navigation device.
Oh, my.
Looks a bit like a smartphone to me, but that's okay. It's also been described as a 5-inch Android tablet or a part tablet, part smartphone. It runs Android 2.2. which is Froyo, the operating system, the Android operating system. 5-inch widescreen display, optimally designed for mobile web video and movies. Integrated social networking widgets and applications. It's a fully functional 3G phone with instant messaging and SMS text capabilities. It has a Gorilla Glass screen. I don't know what a Gorilla Glass screen is. Special damage-resistant technology, it says. Google Maps with navigation, text-to-voice, multitasking, you name it. You can buy them through Optus. Or you can buy them unlocked on eBay for about $530.
Cool.
Nice little gadget. That's it. Andrew, the Dell Streak.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
Lena says it's called the Streak because it doesn't like having covers on it. The website, Andrew.
She's off. She's off. There she goes.
CrazyThingsParentsText.com.
Oh, I saw this this afternoon.
Andrew had a bit of a play with this afternoon in the office. Everyone's been exposed.
I don't think it's parents who would text this sort of stuff either.
Everyone's been exposed to awkward things their parents have said from time to time, whether it's parents Not understanding how to use texting or misusing common phrases, hilarious conversations are bound to happen when parents meet SMS technology. Crazy Things ParentsText.com is made up of user-submitted texts and ranks them for all to see. Parents love to think they're being hip by using text messages and abbreviations to communicate with their tech-savvy children.
Very funny.
Little do they know that their texts could end up on the internet.
Yes.
If you've got some time to kill.
And just be wary, mums, don't text your husband thinking it's because you can accidentally text a sibling.
And accidentally send it to your...
That can be very...
Yes, to your
there's one there about internet,
daughter.
Which is very funny. About being up and down on the internet. But anyway, that's another story.
Crazy Things, ParentsText.com.
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
I've been using this for the last few days, and Andrew's loaded up as well. Pulse News. It's an Android
very
application.
Cool.
It's made by Alfonso Labs. Hi there, guys, says Tristan. Tristan says, I have an app of the week suggestion. I use an application called Pulse.
It's on Apple too.
It's available for Apple as well?
Yep.
Excellent. It's fantastic for catching up on the news I want to hear. I add my feeds into it, and it automatically puts a little headline. Graham's just catching up with the... He's reading the website of the week. It puts a little headline up of all my news sources sorted in order where I can read the latest news first. Tristan, I loaded this up, and I agree, it's a fantastic little application. The user interface is very, very slick, and it's very nice. You can scroll up and down. You can scroll left to right on your news feeds. Very, very easy to add XML feeds.
Like podcast feeds.
Like
our feed.
Yeah, that's right. It's essentially a news aggregation application. Very, very swish, nice UI, and what's more, it's free. So it's
user
our application.
Interface.
Yes.
It means it's how you use it, how you click and drag things around.
That's it. And you can click and drag things around with this. It does it very, very nicely too. That's the application, Andrew. Pulse News for Android and iPhones.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bond. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
LMML, Lena. Lost my mind laughing. That's
I
a good
did.
One.
I lost my mind laughing.
It was the most talked about accessory at the recent royal wedding. The infamous hat worn by Princess Beatrice.
Oh, yeah. That was hideous.
At her cousin Prince William and Kate Middleton's royal nuptials has been sold on eBay for $131,648.
What currency?
Dollars.
No,
Linden
US.
Dollars.
Linden dollars. That explains
US
it.
US dollars.
Yeah.
With 40 bidders pining for the iconic mad hat, all the money raised was donated to UNICEF UK and Children in Crisis.
She took eyes out with that when she walked in. Oh. Did you see it?
The Eye of Sauron was in it.
The Eye of Sauron was in the middle of it. Princess Beatrice said, I've been amazed by the amount of attention that the hat's attracted. It's a wonderful opportunity to raise money,
Did you know she was naked? I bet she didn't.
Yeah. No one looked at anything other than the hat on her head.
Yeah.
One doesn't simply walk into the wedding.
I think that's wonderful that she's taken it all in the right spirit and done something good with it. I think that's
she
wonderful.
She cries herself to sleep every night, don't you worry.
That's right. Who knew a hat in the shape of a toilet seat could garner such money for such a good cause? Think of the PayPal commission, Andrew.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, PayPal would be laughing all the way to the bank, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it's a tidy 10% or something, $13,000 for the sale of a hat.
Yeah, excellent.
In the shape of Sauron's eye.
Yep.
Sauron's toilet seat, whatever it was.
And that is the show for the week. Should we stop it there?
I think you should.
I think we should. Until the same time next week, wherever you're listening to us around Australia, come and say hello to us. You know the places.
feedback@techtalkradio.com.au.
Correct. Until then, till next week. Bye for now, guys. Thanks for everyone for joining us in the chat tonight. A lot of people there. Bye.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Guest panellist is Justin Dunlop. Expert opinion by Adam Turner and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and the world that rebroadcast the show. And a reminder that Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. And don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk chat, and solve your tech issues in the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.